Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina, weekdae tussen 3 en 6.
Nou Nini, vroeger hierdie week het jy toevallig 'n storie gehad oor 'n baie ikoniese baie kostuum.
Pamela Anderson van Baywatch.
What a show. Huh? Wat jy?
Dit was 'n awesome show. Ek het ek en Lisa Chris het gehou van Jasmine Bleeth, die donker koppie.
Wow, ja, beautiful girl gewees.
Ek het ook twee stories in die nuus gedra hierdie week van twee verskeie mense wat verdrink het. Al klaar hierdie feesseisoen.
Ja, so dit is 'n realiteit. Mens gaan see toe en jy dink, okay, ek het waterpolo gespeel in die hoërskool, ek het hierdie jy weet, no problems vir my nie. Of ek weet hoe om te swem, jy kan vir my niks vertel nie, maar die realiteit van die situasie is, ongelukkig is die see onvoorspelbaar. En dis hoekom daar mense is soos Andrew hulle, en hy is van die NSRI, die Nationale See Reddings Instituut, en hy saam met ons op die lyn. Andrew, how are you, sir? Andrew, good and you?
Hey, Dopie, hello Nina, ja,
hi.
All good.
Lekker, so Andrew, this is now the thing is, we can tell each other 100 times that, you know, I used to be a water polo player, or I used to swim nationals and whatever, but when it comes to the ocean, it's not something to be messed with, is it?
Dupie, no. So, I mean, there's a whole number of things that go around that. Fresh water versus salt water. I think your introduction of I used to be a water polo player is actually one of the reasons why we started our Pink Rescue Boy campaign of emergency flotation. So very often we found when we were responding to a drowning in progress, as we call it, so a person in difficulty in the water, Sea Rescue NSRI is called for help. And when we get there, we found that there's two people in difficulty, and sometimes both people have drowned. Often what happens is that a young person gets into difficulty in the water, and sometimes it's a rip current, and then an older man remembers himself as a 20-year-old ex-water polo player and runs across the sand, goes into the water, swims out. His adrenaline dissipates, absolutely exhausted, trying to help somebody and stay afloat at the same time and drowns. So the ocean is something to have a huge respect for. It's beautiful, but it's dangerous.
So, Andrew, can you explain to us what is the NSRI and what does it do?
So, Nina, the NSRI started off in 1967 as a reactive boat rescue service. So our first boat was a little inflatable with an engine on the back and two volunteers. And they were based in Cape Town, Three Anchor Bay. And in fact, I could put this boat on top of their combi and go around the peninsula and carry out rescues wherever they needed to. It started from a terrible incident in the Stillby area where 17 fishermen drowned in a storm. Their boats were sank and there was one survivor. And there was a teacher in Simonstown who started to write letters to the media saying, we need to start something like they have in the United Kingdom, the RNLI, they're called. And she did such a good job that, in fact, the Master Mariners came to the party, donated £5,000, and NSRI started on a volunteer basis. It grew to what is now pretty close to 1,400 volunteers and some absolutely incredible offshore rescue craft that cost about 25 million rand each to build in South Africa. Cutting-edge technology. Absolutely incredible vessels in the worst weather you can imagine. From that humble beginning, we've become an incredibly professional organization that is run by volunteers. Quite amazing when you think about it.
Now, Andrew, we're going to be back with you now. We have a few more questions and some hopefully tips that'll keep everyone going down to the coast a little bit more safe this season. So just hold the line for me. This Andrew Ingram, hy is een van die woordvoerders daarso by die NSRI, die Nasionale See Reddings Instituut. Christoffel Visser met Ek Sal As Jy Sal. Dis nie die tipe dance wat 'n mens moet uitdeel as jy by die see is nie.
Nee, definitief nie.
Kom swem dan nie, hy net te doen. Okay, maar ek sal as jy sal.
Ja,
nee.
Not a good idea. Moet dit nie doen nie. Tensy jy weet wat aangaan. Saam met ons op die lyn het ons vir Andrew Ingram, hy's van die Nasionale See Reddingsinstituut en ons gesels 'n bietjie oor wat jy moet weet voordat jy afgaan kus toe en beplan om in die see te swem. Nini het nou twee stories gedra al oor mense wat verdrink het. Vier mense in 4 dae gewees.
Ja, en die ding is een van hulle was 'n surfer, die ander ou is ook 'n goeie swemmer wat iemand gaan probeer help het en toe self verdrink het. So dis regtig tough daar buite.
So Andrew, I think that's one of we spoke about misperceptions when it comes to the ocean, but when it comes to the NSRI, do you guys have any affiliation to the lifeguards or do they have their own organization?
So there's two completely different organizations. The one is Life Saving South Africa, and they run volunteer lifeguarding clubs around the coast and, in fact, inland. So they have groups or clubs who take part in sport, and they also they have a qualification that allows them to be lifeguards on beaches and at swimming pools and work for municipalities. Sea Rescue, or the NSRI, is a rescue organization, so we don't take part in any sport. We do have lifeguards and we contract them out to municipalities. So that's the basic difference.
I just want to know, when you say volunteer, do people not get paid?
So every single NSRI person in a red wetsuit who goes out to sea in a sea rescue boat is an unpaid volunteer.
Wow.
But we have a professional contingent, of which I am one, who are paid to run the organization. So we have a volunteer support center, or our head office is in Cape Town, and our job is to make sure that the volunteers are supported. They can do what they are good at doing and love doing, and that's practicing and carrying out rescues. We also have a professional paid staff who teach water safety and survival swimming. So the proactive or preventative side of the NSRI, as well as the lifeguarding, are professionals who are paid.
That's amazing. So people should be very grateful when they see lifeguards and the NSRI people saving lives. So, Andrew, what should people keep in mind when swimming in the ocean? I know the one thing my grandpa always said is never turn your back on the ocean. Always look at it.
Nina, your grandpa's completely right. I mean, there's a whole pile of video clips on epic fails on various platforms that people look at and laugh. But they could be absolutely tragic. So keeping an eye on the ocean is really safe. Turning your back on it, you don't know what's going to happen with the waves and so on.
Yeah.
We have kind of four headlines. In fact, we have 10 major safety tips, but I can break those down to four real headliners, and we can go into those if you like or you have time.
Yeah.
The first one is alcohol and going into the water or swimming or boating is an absolute no-no. Supervision of children. Imperative, because drowning is silent. It's not like in the movies where people splash around and scream for help. Dangerous currents, rip currents, and swimming at lifeguarded beaches. Most people can't see a rip current. They don't. Mostly men will say we can. Very often they can't. So to avoid dangerous currents, swim at lifeguarded beaches, and then know your emergency numbers. Those are the four headliners, really.
And what are those numbers?
So I think let's stick to one. The major emergency number that you should have saved in your cell phone is 112. And by dialing that number, you'll go through to your the service provider, and you can, depending on who the service provider is, you'll be told to push 1 for police, 2 for ambulance, 3 for fire, and 4 for sea rescue.
Great.
For example.
That's easy enough.
And then, just a quickie. Google, if you don't know the number in an emergency, Google is your friend.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe that's something that everyone should do before they go down to the coast, wherever you're going to be down the South African coastline. Maybe look at the community safety numbers there, because I know you mentioned now riptides and that kind of thing. When you do get to a beach that you've never been to before, you'll mostly see signage on the at the beach saying that, listen, this is the layout of the beach, this is the designated swimming area, and these are where we expect these riptides. So if you do get caught in one of these rips, this is the way that you should approach it, correct?
Exactly correct, Dupi. So the problem with this time of the year is that everybody's happy and nice and relaxed, and they go wandering down past the signs, completely forgetting that something can go badly wrong. And then when it does, they don't know who to call. So I think, you know, if you pay attention to the signs, and as you suggest, it's really a good idea to put emergency numbers for the area that you're going to be into your telephone, into your cell phone before you go to that area. And then in an emergency, it's there. You don't have to phone your mother, your brother, your uncle or your aunt because you've forgotten who to call.
Andrew, I think also maybe two pointers that's almost voor die hand liggend is to actually swim, when you talk about lifeguarded beaches, is to swim between the flags and maybe not go swimming alone. Always be with someone else that you know.
Nina, absolutely critical. And I think that's one of the things where there's people feel there's so much noise around it, because we say it over and over again. Everybody talking about water safety will say, swim at a beach where there are lifeguards on duty and swim between the flags. And you go like, yawn. Yeah, I've heard that before. But the reason for that is that most people find it so difficult to see rip currents and to understand what happens when you're in a rip. And when you feel yourself being pulled away from the shore, it's absolutely terrifying. Lifeguards know their beaches. They'll make sure you're safe, and that won't happen to you on your holidays. So just be safe and have a lekker holiday. Go to a lifeguarded beach and go into the water between their flags.
Andrew, so you mentioned the rip again. Here I am, you know, we just got to the beach, can't wait to get into the water because it's nice and hot, and I do somehow end up in one of these rip currents and it starts dragging me out. I'm wasting energy trying to swim back to the beach, but I'm literally going nowhere. I'm being swept out to ocean. How do I get myself out of this situation? What should I keep in mind?
So that's a really cool question. It happens, and it happens often. So the thing to remember with a rip current is it's like a river of water flowing away from the beach to where the waves are starting to form. So if you carry on that analogy and you imagine that you fell into a river, you wouldn't swim upstream to try and get out of it. You would swim to the banks, that's to the side.
True.
So as the river of water or the rip current is pulling you away from the beach, you need to swim to the side to get out of that current. And that will be into waves and then swim back to shore. So that's very easy for me to say. I must tell you, when it's happening and you feel your chest closing in panic, it's not easy to do. So you need to flip on your back, give yourself a good talking to not to panic, wave your arm in the air. Hopefully you have somebody who is watching you and who can call for help, either lifeguards or phone NSRI. And perhaps there's a pink buoy or a surfboard or some other form of flotation that they can either throw to you, or if there's a strong swimmer, they can swim it out to you. And I think that is another thing that's so important. As a father, if my daughter was caught in a current, I would want to go into the water and help her. And it's so important to say that you have to have flotation with you. You have to take a pink buoy. If you're going to disregard the advice, which is going into the water to rescue somebody without training, is very, very dangerous. But if that's my daughter, I'm going in anyway. So then I must know that I must take flotation with me. Mm. So an NSRI pink rescue buoy or a surfboard. I must take fins, and I must make sure that somebody has phoned NSRI to tell them that this rescue is happening, so that first responders can be sent to come and help.
That's amazing.
Because I watched this show on YouTube where it's these lifeguards down in Australia. And they say their biggest situation always is when there is a situation where somebody is drowning and it's a family member, you want to go in automatically. That's your first response. I'm going to go and help. But this creates a different situation where now you possibly have two victims to save instead of just one.
Absolutely, Dupi. And that's the terror of responding to a drowning in progress is you don't know until you're on scene how many people are in the water. There's a story that we tell amongst ourselves from a Plettenberg Bay station commander from many years back who they were dispatched to a drowning in progress rip current. And the response then is one person goes to a high spot with communication so that they can see down into the rip current. Rescue swimmers are sent so they can swim out, and the rescue boat is dispatched. And all of this happens at the same time. The station commander got up onto a sand dune, looked down into the rip current, and counted 14 people in it.
No.
And what had happened is one went in after the other to help.
Wow.
That's a highly unusual story. Commonly, it's two people, and often it's three people. But it's the same problem. Well-meaning people going to help, but not taking flotation with them or being weak swimmers. Mm.
Andrew, before we let you go, what is the one or two things that you would like to leave with our listeners?
I think let's stick to three things. Alcohol and swimming or going into the water, please don't. Supervision of your children. Drowning is silent. You have to be watching them. If they're in the water, be an arm's length away. Dangerous currents, rip currents. Most people can't see them. So choose a beach where lifeguards are on duty. Go into the water between their flags. And I'm going to slip in a fourth, and that's 112 is the emergency number. And have a lekker holiday. Be safe.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, and also Merry Christmas to you and all the volunteers, and Happy New Year, and may it be a safe one. And thank you for the selflessness, I think, that you guys, you know, when everyone's having a lack of holiday, we have these volunteers that we now know of who are just out there trying to save lives and doing it at their own peril, I guess.
Yeah, Dupi, Nina, thank you very much for your time. The volunteers do it because they're good at it and they love it. And to your listeners, if you're going down to the coast, have a blast. Please remember those four things. Be safe. Save the emergency numbers in your phone before you come down.
Andrew Ingram from NSRI, thank you for your time.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam Dupi en Nina 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.